That's what we're talking about today, that Jesus is risen. Today is a fantastic Sunday. I want to add my welcome to you, so welcome to Jericho Road Church, those of you that are here. And we do have a few friends who can't make it due to some illnesses and different reasons, so we're saying hi to them online as well. Happy Easter to all of you. It's an incredibly fun Sunday. We have like so many different things happening today. All sorts of special parts, even in the sermon, there's going to be things going on. So it's Easter, and so that's like a big deal, right? And it's also a family service. You'll notice that our doors are open, the kids' adventure is closed, and we're all together. And I always want to assure our parents, if your kids are crying, that is amazing. That means they're alive and well, and so we're glad for it. No one's going to be mad if you have crying kids. There's a saying in Midwest America that says, if there ain't any crying, your church is a dying. And so we definitely love our young people. You like that? Because I went to the Midwest as the plane flew over one time. I saw that online. I never been to the Midwest. So welcome. And if our kids are crying, it's a family service. We love it. It's awesome. It also happens to be our church's 11th year anniversary. So that's pretty amazing. Happy birthday, JRC. Happy birthday to you. I don't want to sing the whole song, so we just do the end. Amen. So clap it up. 11 years as a church. That's fantastic. Another thing we want to do is we want to celebrate and appreciate our beloved Pastor Jason and his family, as this is their final service with us. They've been here for 5 years, and they'll be starting a full-time ministry. We could only afford them part-time, but now they've got a full-time at Gardena Valley Baptist Church. So we'll be sending them out. Before I have them come up here and pray for them, we have a tribute video for them. So would you just enjoy just a minute or two of that? Guys, come on up here. We want to, as a church, bless you in prayer. Pastor Jason, would you run on here? If we could grab the girls too, I'd love that. All right. Come on up. We got a. So one may not be there, just in case he shows up here. Amen. Hey, you guys. Let's, yeah, the video says so much, but I just thank you for your friendship. I thank you for loving us and blessing us every single week. So faithful, incredible. I'm not going to say any more because I can't cry before I have to do some more stuff, but thank you, and let us bless you in prayer. Oh, Father, we launch our brother. We get to share him with others, though we want to keep him for ourselves. Pray as he steps into a new role with the full-time youth position, that you'd give him greater grace and goodness than he's ever had, that he would be a blessing in a way that he didn't even imagine because you're so powerful. Would you use this whole family? Would you protect them as they go and follow your voice, your call in their life, even if it means sacrifice for them and moving from this community that loves them and that they love. And so, God, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray that you would hold them near to you. Would you provide for them? Overwhelm them with your goodness. Bless them, Jesus. Thank you for them. We pray this in your name. Amen. 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 So thank you, guys. I know there's a couple of cards floating around. There's another big card. And there's a cake, which is a birthday JRC / appreciation cake. So there's like multiple words on there. Thank you, guys. Bless you, guys. Thank you. We have that appreciation cake. It'll be out available after tacos. We have a tacos and then dessert today. So next we got this sermon, and then there's going to be a baptism introduction, and then we're going to have an infant baptismal dedication, and then we'll go outside and do a baptism outside, and then there'll be tacos. So what an amazing day. We have all these things going on. And it's all because of God. It's all because of our love for Jesus that we meet together. This isn't a hangout club. It's not, you know, a nonprofits or do good things together club. It really is because of Jesus that we are here together. So Easter is obviously going to have an Easter message, right? So today we're going to focus on the phrase, "He is risen." That's going to be our phrase for the next 15 minutes that I share. Did you know that if you rearrange the letters of Easter, it spells risen? Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, it doesn't. No, that's actually true. It's actually, if you read Easter backwards, it's risen. Easter backwards is risen. No, that one's not true either. But it happens to be that in the Greek, Easter translates as risen. You don't know because you don't read Greek, but the theme is no, that's not actually true either. It turns out the meaning of the word Easter, the actual word Easter, is ambiguous. It's murky. It's unknown. It could be have traces in pagan origins. And so the Christians sort of stole that. The word Easter doesn't actually attach to the celebration that we have. The word Easter is not connected to the resurrection of Jesus. It's just this strange, murky word that we attach to. Though the word Easter is murky and its origins are murky, its meaning to Christians is not. It is crystal clear and it's simple. Easter is when we celebrate that Jesus is risen. Crucified on Friday, the Jewish Passover on Saturday, and then raised on Sunday, resurrected on Sunday. So let's see this phrase, "He is risen," in God's word. We're going to see it in three separate gospel accounts. The first comes in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here," say it with me, "he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women, they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee. There they will see me." Mark records these words about the same instance. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Together, he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." In Luke, it reads like this. in Luke 24. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here," again together, "he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. All of the Gospels testify to the empty tomb and the risen Christ. The narrative is straightforward enough, but the implications of the narrative are mind-blowing. This is a critical component of Christianity, perhaps the most critical issue of all. So much so that Paul writes several things about the importance of the risen Jesus. So let's see five truths about Jesus being raised and consequently us being raised. So we're going to look at five truths that Paul highlights about he is risen. Because he is risen, we are raised spiritually. See how Paul says it to the Roman church in Romans 4. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. So Jesus suffers death because of things that we have done. But when he is raised to life, we were made just, or we were made right in the eyes of God. His sacrifice and subsequent resurrection made this possible. Spiritually speaking, we cannot get to heaven on our own. It is impossible for any of us, even if you're like the best human on earth, to be made right or to be justified in God's eyes. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none who are righteous, no, not one. You can never be right or just in God's eyes on your own. But because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection, you can be made just in God's eyes. It is the only way to heaven. There's no justification for us being in heaven apart from Jesus or on our own merit. He is the one who justifies us having a place in heaven. So we are risen spiritually because he is risen. We're made right or justified because of his sacrifice. So that's the first. The second is, because he is risen, we are raised physically. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." God shows or demonstrates his power by raising the dead. It's a promise to us that we too will be raised. Unlike most of the religions on the planet who just think that you'll be a spirit for eternity, we do not. We believe that when Jesus comes back, no matter when you died in history past by thousands of years, or maybe in the future for some of us, when you die, you will be resurrected physically like Jesus was. Jesus became, got his body back. He was touchable. He could eat food, but he could also do some other weird things like fly and disappear and come back. You know, so we don't know exactly what our bodies will look like, but we believe that we will be raised as human beings. You were created to be a human being with a soul and a spirit together in one package, and that's how you'll be in eternity with a perfect world in a perfect universe. God will recreate it or restore Eden. God resurrects or raises all of creation. He raises each of us physically when we believe in him. So we believe in the end we will rise bodily just as Jesus did. He is risen and he provides a way so that we too will be risen. This is what takes away the worry about death. It doesn't matter. Like, death is just for a second. You're just going to be buried for a little bit, and then Jesus is going to resurrect your body back. He's going to put your perfect soul with your perfect body, and that's how you'll live eternity. The only question is where you'll live for eternity. It'll either be with God or be separated from God. Depends on you. Jesus says, if you want to be with God, you just come through me. And if you don't want that, you can reject it. But that other option isn't a great option. We call it hell. Have you heard of that one? So that's option no for me. So that's why I say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go with yes. Because we believe that's how we will be raised eternally in bodily form. So we're raised spiritually and we're raised physically. Because he is risen, we are raised to live new lives. Check out in Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that new life starts here. Once you accept Jesus as your Savior, your new life began. Like, you won't be perfect until you meet Jesus, but it has begun. The old me is dead. The new me is here. And this new life is filled with purpose and meaning. See it in our next verse. Because he is risen, we are raised for divine purpose. This is in Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He is risen, so now we are raised for new purpose, a new focus, a new place to set our eyes, no longer on the things of this world, but to set our eyes on the things that are above. Before, we didn't have that ability because we hadn't been raised. Our soul hadn't been raised. Our eyes hadn't been raised up. But now in Christ, because he's risen, our eyes raise up as believers, as followers of Jesus, and we live for a new purpose, a new direction in our life, a new meaning of our life. We set our hearts on God things, his kingdom, his desires. We begin to take the Great Commission seriously, where we're commanded to go and share the good news with all those and make disciples throughout the world. We begin to take our personal holiness seriously, where I can't still do the same kind of sins. That's not what I'm trying to live for, the life that I had before Jesus. We begin to make different life decisions because our hearts aren't set on this world, but they're set on things above. When we're raised, it changes how we view everything, how we view our work, how we view our family, how we view interactions, how we view driving on the freeway or someone who cut us off. It changes how we interact with the world when we're raised. The things above are eternal and lasting. They're deep and meaningful. The things above are joyful and blessed and God-centered, and that is where we place our eyes as we are raised. When we are raised, our eyes are raised up. It changes what comes out of us. See it in our final verse here. Because he is risen, we are raised to bear good fruit. In Romans 7, it says, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." You are raised for a new purpose, and you will bear fruit like the fruit of the Spirit: love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things will start to show up in your life as you find yourself risen in Jesus. As you follow him, as you place your eyes above, those fruits start to pop out. Bloop, bloop, bloop. All of a sudden, oh man, I love people. Before I became a believer, I didn't love people. I actually disliked every people. Maybe a few of my family members were okay, but that's about it, you know? I didn't like anybody, but then all of a sudden, after I became a believer, look, I love more of my family. I love my extended family. Okay, now I love my friends. Now I love other people. Then I start to love everybody. And like I said last week, and then I start to tell them I love them, right? And freak them out. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so that kind of just shows up when you're living a resurrected life, when you're living a life that's risen with your eyes on things above. Love starts to show up. Patience shows up that you don't have. Goodness shows up that you didn't possess before. I know for me, all the things I focused on was me and what I could get or what I could achieve or what I could have. And then when I become a believer, it's like, oh, what can I give away? How can I bless someone? How can I build someone else up? And it no longer becomes about me. We bear good fruit of righteousness in our own life and our walk. You will bear fruit of new believers as you share the gospel with those people that are around you at work or in class or on the ball field or whoever's like sitting next to you when you're watching your kid on the ball field. The results of your life, the outcomes of your actions will be good and God-honoring, bearing fruit to his name. He is risen so that we can bear good fruit because we are risen. One of the great symbols of being raised new is baptism and dedication. And one of our favorite young men this morning has decided to publicly declare that he is raised new in Christ. So Hank, I want you to come up here, wherever Hank is, send that boy up here. I mean young man, not boy. Sorry, Hank. All right, let's see what we got. This is actually for the baby. It's like a magic trick. Ta-da! So this one's for you. So let me introduce you guys to Hank. He's going to get baptized in just a minute. I'm going to read to you the things that he wrote. I think they're, I did not write these. I wish I could write this well and this powerfully. So thanks, Hank, for what you wrote. Let me read it for you guys. Hank actually doesn't remember exactly when he gave his life to Jesus. He just knows that he has. He wanted to get baptized to deepen his relationship with God and devote his life to following him. That's a direct quote, my man, right here. God has been working in his life, giving him more patience and strength to love others, even when that can be hard. God has been guiding him through his everyday choices through the Holy Spirit. The most influential persons in his spiritual journey have been his mom and dad. Being baptized means giving his life to Christ and following him. He wants to be baptized to share his faith as a follower of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, look at that fancy JRC baptism towel. So he's going to go get changed, and we're going to catch him out there in just a minute. Additionally, today there's a set of parents who want to dedicate their child to the Lord, to commit to raise him in Christ so that one day he can be raised in Christ. So, Pastor Trevor and Krista, would you guys come up here, please? This is Josiah's first day at church. It's Easter Sunday, and he's getting dedicated. So if this boy ain't going to be godly, there's no hope for any one of us. You know, like, he says, this is the start, buddy. This is the start for you. You guys want to be on that side? I don't know. This works better for me. Come over here. All right. Come close. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about Krista and Trevor. Krista grew up in church knowing who God was and had godly parents in it, but it wasn't until fifth grade that the Lord started stirring in her heart and she was convicted of her sin. Her Bible study teachers as well as winter camp experiences helped her to realize her need for a Savior. She prayed privately to the Lord to follow him all her days and have him be the king of her life. After a period of doubt, she rededicated herself to the Lord and was baptized. She has followed God faithfully ever since, serving, going on missions, being involved in ministry, and blessing others with her talents. Trevor grew up going to church and always believed in the truths of the Bible and had some semblance of faith, but never really lived for Jesus. He found himself sinning a lot in high school, and after high school, he realized that if he kept sinning, his life would turn out the opposite of how he wanted it to go. This made him seek God, and one day in his dorm room, he begged God to help him live his life according to God's ways, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Since then, he has shared his faith, attended church, discipled others, and grown in holiness and healing from past wounds. They would like to see Josiah come to know the Lord at a young age and be faithful to God his whole life. Their prayer is that he does great things for the Lord and his kingdom and follows God wholeheartedly and radically, just like King Josiah. May he be protected from the evil of this world, stand up for what is righteous, and lead others to Christ. They intend to prioritize him going to church and being in fellowship with believers multiple times a week. Pastor's kids. Their family plans to have regular Bible study time.
She wrote that.
And prayer every time. Prayer every night. Pastor's wife's kids. They invite their large, immediate, and extended and church family to pray for him and train him to be righteous according to the gospel and God's law. Okay, so I have a couple of confessions. Do you, Trevor and Krista, agree before God to raise Josiah in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you, church, agree in all your interactions with this family to support them and join in raising Josiah to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I, Samuel Tomczyk, as a minister of the gospel, do dedicate with water this child to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God's blessing shine upon him all the days of his life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Love you. All right, let us pray for him. Amen. Oh, sorry. You got a big baptism towel. Monk. Jesus, we just want to pray over Josiah. We ask for your presence in his life. We know that even in babies, your spirit will stir, and we pray you'd stir him towards you. Would you call him to a life for you, Jesus? We pray for great patience for his parents. Would you give them strength to parent well and joy as they do it? God, we pray in all of the ups and downs that they will be looking at you, eyes raised up to you. And I pray that this beautiful fruit of their labor would honor you in his whole life. Thank you for this family. Thank you that this family has multiplied in our presence, and what a blessing they are. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Here you go. You go. See? Oh, and then here's a baptism certificate. It's inside that fancy silver. Yeah, I don't know if we normally give these on stage. Everyone has always gotten them since we've been here, so it's not like special treatment. So you can ask anyone who had their infant dedicated here. So, all right. So a little bit of instructions. Right now, we're gonna head out this door in just a moment as part of our Easter service. So it's not over. You can't go anywhere. You must go. We have a guard at the door who will not let you leave. This isn't time to escape early. We're going out this door as part of our Easter service. We're going to join Hank as he gets baptized this morning. And then we're going to close our service outside. And then we're going to continue our celebration with tacos and fellowship. So after you get your tacos, feel free to eat inside here. All these chairs are available. Chairs and tables are set up in the Kid Venture Room, the lobby room. If it's a lovely day out this year, you can eat outside if you'd like. So grab your tacos. Feel free to eat. That'll be set up wherever you like. Okay, and so let us, in a calm, single-file manner, like that's a teacher in me. Single file, exit here, like an emergency drill. We're going out this door to see Hank get baptized. Let's head this way.